Tom Forrest has an elaborate plan to trap the poachers denuding Fairbrother's estate. He's ostensibly gone away, but had himself picked up at a nearby railway halt by Phil Archer, who agreed to watch out the night with him through to dawn this morning.
Is that you, Phil?
Yes, Uncle Tom.
You're that blooming dog. Something must have disturbed him.
Let him go, wasn't he?
Yeah, it certainly was. Not bad timing, lad. 12:10. Any signs?
Not up the top, no. What about you?
No, not in long cover yet. Yeah. It's the right night, though. Moon with a bit of scudding cloud and a bit of wind.
Did you do all right today?
What, up in Diana Hood's shed?
Yeah.
I had myself a bit of sleep, too.
Oh, God.
I wasn't disturbed. Now, look, Phil. There's only you and me and Fairbrother knows as I ain't in Fordingbridge, I'll swear.
Except the ticket collector at Merton Hall, where I picked you up.
Well, he don't matter. Now, I went through the top half of the dogs just on dusk, Phil. Pushed most of the birds down this way. And I reckon this is where they'll have to come to find them.
What do we do, then?
Well, keep a quiet patrol through the whole cover. If here's nothing, meet back here, same spot every hour. All right?
Yep. All right, then.
Right, off you go, then. And be as quiet as you can, lad.
Yeah, righto.
Yes, Phil.
It's a fool's errand, you know.
We're wasting our time.
I'm not so sure, Phil. There's still time. That twilight between dark and dawn, for example.
How long to dawn?
Oh, hour and a half, officially.
Well, the moon's still there. They're easy enough to see sitting. I've seen them myself. Get under them and got a silhouette up there as big as a bus.
Hear that?
Yes, I heard that.
It's that 410 merchant, not the three brothers. He's about, Phil.
Any idea of the direction?
I don't need much idea. I've picked up enough of his empty cases. Now he'll work down either this side of the cover or on the other.
It's hard to tell which side is operating, though, isn't it?
His cases are always about 4 yards in. No more. All we got to do is separate and move quietly through the cover and keep about 50 yards apart.
Right.
Now, don't rush it. Take it steady. We'll hear him having another go or two. We're bound to come up with him.
All right, then. Let's split up.
Now, then, you got your whistle?
Yeah.
Don't forget, then, if either of us comes up with him, we grabs him, then we blows our lungs out. And if we don't get the devil tonight, I'll chuck me job in. That's what I'll do.
Right. Off we go, then.
Got one almost at me feet. Go on, pick it up, you lout. Then I can have you.
There.
What are you doing with that bird?
Huh? What's it?
All right, you monkey. Come on, the game's up.
Why, you, Tom.
So dust up your water, is it?
All right, my beauty.
Give me that gun.
You swine.
Let go of it, blaster.
No. Oh.
Get out, you! Trying to push the whistle down my throat, are you? Let go of that gun, you fool. I'll give you a right old face.
Golly.
I know you now, you rascal. Bob Larkin.
Uncle Tom! Uncle Tom!
Over here!
Well, hold up, Lighter!
Oh, my wrist!
Let go, then! Go on, let go!
Uncle Tom! Uncle Tom, are you all right? Uncle Tom!
Here, quick, bring your torch. Hurry, Phil.
What's happened? Oh, you're covered in blood.
I'm all right. Shine it on him down there. It's Bob Larkin.
Bob Larkin? Oh, my God! That's awful.
It's Bob Larkin.
Yeah. It was.
We fell through the bushes. We were struggling for the 410 here. We had it between us.
Wait, don't touch it. Don't touch anything. Now, you just stay here. Well, somewhere around.
I can't believe it.
Well, don't move him. Don't do anything. Here you are. Look, here's the torch. Now, you just stick around. I'll be as quick as I can.
Where are you going?
To get a doctor, you dope. but stay with him. But don't move him. Don't go near him. And don't panic, at least try not to.
Oh, dear. Blast the phone. Oh, blimey. Can't even finish my morning sleep out. Ambridge Police, PC Bryden speaking.
Mr. Bryden, it's Phil Archer speaking.
Yeah?
Look, I wish you'd come up here at once. There's been a shooting accident. We've got a poacher and he's in a pretty bad way. In fact, I'm sure he's dead.
What? What's that? Where are you speaking from?
Heather Lane call box. We were in long cover and there was a fight.
Have you called the doctor?
Yes, before I called you.
All right, I'll be right up. Where's the nearest point?
Third field gate on the left past this call box.
I'll be there as soon as I can. Meet me at the gate and make sure nobody touches anything at the scene until I get there.
Yeah.
Clear the line now while I get some other things moving.
Right.
Number, please.
Hollerton 2804, and make it snappy.
Hollerton 2804. Hollerton Police, PC Foxwell speaking.
Foxy, it's Jeff Bryden. Give me the super, quick, will you?
The super? At this time? You won't be very pleased.
I can't help it, chum. I've got a shooting. It's GBH or worse.
Oh, righto. Hang on. You're through.
Superintendent Browning.
PC Bryden, sir. Ambridge. I've just had a report in, sir, from the Fairbrother estate of a fight with a poacher. There's been a shooting. It could be GBH or worse.
Oh.
The man who's phoned in's a pretty level-headed chap. He wouldn't exaggerate. He's manager up there.
All right. Anybody called the doctor?
Yes, he did. He called our local man. I don't know whether he's arrived yet, though, sir.
You'd better get up there and keep their big feet off everything.
Mm.
I'll get in touch with the CID and see if I can get the DI fixed up with a wireless car. He'll follow you out as soon as he can. He can call back if he wants a photographer from headquarters. How do we get there?
Come to Heather Lane call box on the Nettleton Road. I'll see somebody's there to direct you.
Heather Lane call box. Nettleton Road.
Nettleton Road, yeah.
Nettleton Road. You haven't got any more details yet, of course?
No, sir. No, I only just heard.
All right. You'd better get up there straight away, Bryden. And don't let them muck up the whole scene.
Very good, sir. Goodbye.
Right.
Well, Doctor?
I'm afraid he's dead, Philip.
Well, ain't there anything you can do for him?
Nothing could survive those injuries, Tom. I'm sorry.
Phil, it was an accident, wasn't it?
Yes.
We were struggling for possession of the gun.
Doctor, you didn't move the body.
No, Constable. Oh. It wasn't necessary.
All right, thanks, sir. Instantaneous, was it?
Must have been. 6 to 8 inches range, I suppose. No more. Tom could do with something to steady him.
I don't know whether the detective inspector would approve of that, Doctor. I'd better have a word with him. Now, look, Tom.
He put up the gun as though to threaten him. Well, I had to jump in and grab. We was trying to twist it out of each other's grip when we fell and it went off. I swear I never touched the trigger. I couldn't have. Good God Almighty, if it had been pointing 2 inches this way, I should have had it. We was struggling.
Yes, yes, I know, Tom. You told me.
Yeah, that's true. I got a glimpse of them struggling as I ran through. Then they just disappeared from my sight. They went down together, sort of.
Well, you can see he was poaching. Got that bag there on his back with half a dozen birds in it. And that and over there as he was just picking up when I jumped on him. Now, look, I was standing there seeing it. He come down through this road. Took a bird from not more than 30 yards away, I swear. It landed right here.
No, Tom. Keep away from there, if you don't mind. Let's have the whole of this area kept as clear as possible. Don't go walking.
But I want to tell you what
yes,
happened.
Yes, you have already. But if I were you, I wouldn't say too much until the DI gets here. He shouldn't be above 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour now, and he's sure to want to hear about it. Doctor,
yes?
If you're going back to your car, I wish you'd just wait there until the detective inspector arrives and show him which way to come.
Yes, of course I will. Sorry, Tom, old boy. Bad luck.
Bob Larkin, though. Bob Larkin, oh dear, whatever old Ned say.
Yeah, no. Come on, Uncle Tom. Have a cigarette.
Come on, let's have
it. Dawn's coming up. Maybe things won't seem so bad in daylight.
And that's all I know, Inspector. It happened so quick.
I came running as soon as I heard his whistle, and I just saw them fall.
Well, it wasn't as light as it is now, and I couldn't be sure exactly what happened. But as I've said, do we have to say you're Inspector? Can't we get away from that, from Bob?
I'm afraid you'll have to wait just a bit longer.
What was all this hanging about for? It's this hanging about here.
Yes, I know, Uncle Tom.
Well, Bryden?
Oh, much the same story he told me when I arrived half an hour ago, sir.
You know him, though, eh?
Ah, yes, sir. Uncle and nephew. Same employer. Young one's the farm manager and the other's the gamekeeper. Victim's the brother of a local farm worker.
Hmm. All right. We'll talk about him later. Relieve May and the body now.
Yes, sir.
May, come here. Look, Donald. Go back to the car, call up the old man, and tell him I say we'll want the full treatment. Photographers, bloke from the forensic science laboratory, and everything. And see if you can send over a couple of uniformed chaps to relieve Bryden on the body till they arrive. Got that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, off you go, then. Damn chilly morning.
He swung that 410 liner up towards me, you see, sir. I had to close with him and try to grab it in case he used it. And then, when we fell over through that hazel clump there, well, I don't know what happened. It went off.
I saw them crash through there and heard the bang.
Well, I must tell you I'm arresting you, Mr. Forrest.
What?
Arresting?
Yes. Arresting you on a charge of killing that man there, who I understand is identified as Bob Larkin.
Murder? But
You're not obliged to say anything in answer to the charge, but anything you say may be taken down and used in evidence.
I never murdered anybody in my life.
Of course he didn't.
That's not for you to decide, Mr. Archer, or me, or the prisoner here. That's something that can only be decided in a court of law. Sorry, Mr. Forrest, but I'm going to have to take you in.
Tom Forrest's murder charge was later changed to manslaughter. He was tried on July the 4th, 1957. To the delight of all Ambridge, he was acquitted. In 1958, Tom married Prue Harris, a barmaid at the Bull. The marriage is a happy one. But now, 2 years later, they still have no children.
Oh, good, Tom, you're back.
Yes, I'm back.
Well, I've been waiting for you to come in. Would you like a cup of tea? I've just made one.
No, thanks. Can't find a trace anywhere.
What?
I don't know whether it's four-footed or two-footed, but it's disturbing them, all right. Hey, where's my cleaning rods, Prue?
Oh, in the usual place, Tom.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll go and get them then.
Have you found them all right?
Yes, yes, I got them.
Tom, have you thought any more about whether we ought to try and get a foster child?
No.
Well, what do you think?
I think it must be either a fox or a domestic cat gone wild. That's what I think.
Oh, look, Tom, will you listen to me for a minute?
What is it then, Prue?
Well, what do you think we ought to do about a foster child, Tom?
Oh, do whatever you like, Prue.
Tom.
What?
Fancy talking to me like that, when I wanted to discuss things.
Discuss, discuss, that's all you seems to do, Prue. Either you wants to adopt or foster a child or you don't. If you wants to, then go ahead. If you don't or you're not sure, well then call the whole thing off.
But aren't you interested?
Well, to be honest, love, it's become a bit of an obsession with you lately. And I feel it as a sort of, well, I don't know, as though I've let you down.
What on earth are you on about? Oh, let me down, oh.
Well, if I was nearer your age, you'd have a kiddie or two of your own, and that'd be that. As it is, well, by the time the youngster was 10, I'd be well on into my 60s.
There wasn't any question of me having a baby myself.
Well, that's the best way after all, isn't it? You know the child's background. He's your own flesh and blood.
You mean you're against adopting a child or fostering one? You want a child of our own?
Prue, I don't think that'd be a very good idea.
Then why are you against our fostering a child and maybe adopting her later on when we're sure we want to? What could go wrong with that?
I don't want you to be disappointed, Prue.
You're quite right. It has become something of an obsession with me. I want a child in the house, Tom.
Well, then let's make inquiries.
I already have. The child care officer is coming out to see us.
Oh, when?
She'll ring us and make an appointment.
Hmm.
if you are against it, now's the time to say...
All I'm saying is, don't work yourself up into a fine pitch of enthusiasm, only to be let down.
Oh, you are funny, Tom. Why should I be let down?
Well, I've made one or two discreet inquiries. You can't take over a child like as if she was a young bullock or a sack of taters.
Oh, I know that.
So they'll make some pretty exhaustive inquiries, I expect.
You talk as if we got something to hide. A skeleton in the cupboard. Oh, you are silly, Tom.
Maybe. But let's not count our chickens before they be hatched.
Well, if you never try, you never get anywhere. So I'm going to make arrangements for us both to be here when this county officer gets here. Then we'll see what it's all about. Oh, so take that anxious expression off your face and relax. I tell you, there'll be no difficulty, Tom, no difficulty at all.
Four o'clock. Timer was here.
That clock's a minute or two fast.
I don't know why I should feel nervous, but I do.
Only natural.
Ah, but why? After all, we're helping them just as much as they're helping us.
That's not the way to look at it. This is her, Tom. It must be her.
All right, now, whatever you do, don't panic. Hey, up. That's not the childcare visitor, surely.
It is.
Well, but her's young and very pretty.
What of it?
Well, I expected somebody old and frumpy in a navy blue uniform or somewhat. This young wench is as pretty as a picture. You're sure as an officer of the childcare people?
Quite sure. And she's just as charming as she's pretty, you see. Mm.
Well, I'm going to enjoy this more than I thought.
I'll let her in. You go and make the tea and don't slop it all over the tea trolley like you usually do.
Oh, dear, nag, nag, nag. You'd better be careful. If her ears are going on at me like that, or I say you ain't the right type at all.
Ah, good afternoon, Mrs. Forrest. I'm here at last. A bit late, as usual.
Oh, well, that's all right. Come on in. It's Miss Weldon, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, do come in.
Thank you. What a perfectly delightful cottage. It's new, isn't it?
Yes. We only moved in a week or so ago. Labour-saving, electric. It's got everything.
And in such a beautiful situation. I see you've got neighbours.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas. He's Mr. Granville Shepherd.
Any children?
Two. A boy of 11 and another younger one. He's 6.
Good.
Oh, this is my husband with tea.
How do you do, miss? I was just saying to Prue, you looks far too young and far too pretty to be an official of any sort.
What a nice thing to say. Thank you.
All right, Tom, I'll pour. Uh-huh. And in the meantime, Miss Weldon, you fire away and ask us as many questions as you want.
I will. Tell me, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest, why do you want to foster a child?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's because I got a lot of love for children and felt there must be a child somewhere who'd get some benefit from it instead of it going to waste.
And we're terribly fond of kiddies and not having any of our own. Well...
I see. One lamp, thank you.
You see, we're too old now to start a family of our own, but... Well, we'd like to have a youngster to look after and love.
You realise that if you foster a child, you're likely one day to have him taken away from you and returned to his parents.
We've thought of that. It would be a wrench, naturally, but we just have to face up to it.
Something else I must tell you, too.
Yes?
It's best to be quite open about it from the start. We'd have to check on you both.
Oh, in what way?
The police. We couldn't entertain the idea of a foster parent with a police record, naturally. Oh, and then there's the health check-up.
I was in a sanatorium for TB. Discharge completely cured, though.
I had to tell you that we should be making these checks, though, because I didn't want you to find out afterwards and think I was going behind your back.
Oh, that's all right. We understand.
Splendid. That's the first hurdle over, then. Your job is gamekeeping, isn't it, Mr. Forrest?
Yes, that's right. Nothing against that, I hope.
Does it keep you away from home very much at nights?
Oh, yes, a fair amount. But not every night is a regular thing, like...
Do you work at all, Mrs. Forrest?
Well, I help out serving down at the Bull, but what if we had a foster child? I should give that up and stay here nights with her.
With her? You've set your heart on a girl.
Oh, yes, please. I wouldn't know how to handle a boy at all.
Boys are more easily found for you than girls. Girls are in short supply, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Dale, Mrs. Forrest. What do you think of our children's homes?
Oh, I'd never have believed it. I never thought of them as being places like that. I always imagined one big, dark, red brick building with all the youngsters herded together.
No, they were the bad old days.
Well, I must say, you could have knocked me down when I saw how you worked. Lots of separate establishments. What do you call them?
We call them cottages. 8 children as a rule to each cottage. Each cottage with a mum and an auntie.
That's a wonderful job to be doing, because the youngsters really treat them as mum and auntie, don't they? And vice versa. You can see the old place runs on love and affection.
But it has to. These are what the children are so much in need of. You saw that little boy, Johnny Martin.
Was that the little fellow as we thought had got chicken pox or a rash?
Yes. And those marks on his face were all self-inflicted scratches.
You know, I still can't understand that quite. What was his object?
Oh, quite a simple one. You see, Johnny needs attention. He's been neglected and unloved, and he desperately needs someone to take notice of him. He found out that if he hurt himself, fell over and made his knee bleed, then the mum or auntie in his particular cottage would take him on her knee and put things right. Love him up a little bit.
Ah, yes, I get it.
So, well, it's pathetic, really. He scratched his own face until it bled, and then he was made a fuss of.
But if he keeps on doing it, it's surely the mum or the auntie tells him off.
He doesn't mind, so long as he's being taken notice of. He'd rather be scolded than ignored. Not that he is ignored here, but he loves to have a bit of fuss.
And he'll deliberately hurt himself to get it. Poor little soul.
Now, Johnny would be a wonderful job for any foster parent to work on.
We'd rather have a little girl, though. Once you've passed us as fit and proper people to be foster parents, I think we'd rather wait until there's a little girl, wouldn't we, Tom?
Well, I know as you would, Prue, but I'm not so fussy, personally. Lot to be said for having a little lad, as far as I'm concerned. A little lad would be a treat from my point of view.
Oh, now, Tom, we agreed.
Oh, yes, that's all right, Prue. Yes, a little girl every time.
Oh, dear.
Oh, here, Tom, get this coffee down. You see if that'll liven you up a bit.
Thanks, Doris.
Oh, dear, though, I don't know.
Oh, you're not getting enough sleep. That's your trouble.
Well, how can you at this time of the year with a job as I got to do? I ain't so young as I was, you know, Doris. Seems to take more out of you as you gets older.
Mm. And you say Prue's not interested in fostering a boy?
No, her don't seem to be.
Well, why not?
Because her set on a girl.
Mm.
But I'm sure we could have done something for that little chap, you know. He'd have been a handful, no doubt, but... Oh, dear, you ought to have seen him. I mean, he was a challenge. I'd have taken him on, the poor little chap.
Hey, you'll have the spoon through that cup in a minute if you're not careful.
Eh? Oh, sorry, I didn't realise I was still at it.
Mm.
Oh, dear, oh, it's all go, isn't it?
Look, if you said you'd wanted cold coffee, Tom...
Eh?
Oh, go on, drink it up. You haven't started it yet.
I can't help thinking about that little lad, you know. All them scratches on his face. What must be going on in the poor little fellow's mind?
Yes, that's right.
What made him like it? I don't know, I gets little enough sleep these days as it is. But the thought of that little fellow's been keeping me awake no matter how tired I be.
Yes.
Oh, dear, I wish Prue could see it my way, but her can't, not yet. And by golly, if I don't get a proper sleep tonight, I shall be fagged out by tomorrow.
It certainly seems like it.
Tom and Prue have finally decided to ask one of the children from the welfare home to stay with them for the weekend. Prue has had her heart set on being foster mother to a little girl, but there's a long waiting list for girls, and Tom would rather like to have a boy. So Prue, with mixed feelings, is beginning to change her mind.
Hello there, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest.
Hello, Miss Weldon. Well, this is the great day.
Let's hope it's not going to be a disappointment to anyone. How do you feel about it now, Mrs. Forrest?
Oh, I'm anxious to see how the little chap settles down with us for the weekend.
Well, you don't have to make any final decisions yet. And neither do we, for that matter. If young Johnny doesn't like it, well, that'll be that. He may sense you'd prefer a little girl, Mrs. Forrest.
Oh, no, no, we'd never let him do that.
I should think not, indeed.
At the moment, he knows he's going to your house for the weekend, just as a treat, an outing. He's excited about it. But there isn't the faintest suggestion that he might eventually be going to live there. So don't fill him up with any ideas at this stage, will you?
No, no. We do exactly what you suggested we should do. That's what we've tried to do all along.
That's very true. You couldn't have been more cooperative. And that's why I'm so anxious that we shall sort things out so that everyone's happy.
The youngster's happiness is the main thing.
Well, come on inside and meet him. He's all packed. Pajamas, his train, everything.
Is he nervous?
No. Are you?
Oh, yes.
Well, don't be. But do come in.
Thank you.
In here, then. One small boy is waiting to meet Mr. and Mrs. Forrest. Hello, Johnny.
Hello.
Here are your two friends again, Mr. and Mrs. Forrest. You remember them, don't you?
Hello, young Johnny.
Did you go fishing again like you told me?
Yes, and I caught four beauties. I got some fishing tackle all ready for you, too. We'll be out there a-catching them tomorrow, all being well.
And Mrs. Forrest? Say hello to her.
Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Mrs. Forrest.
Do you like jelly and blancmange and ice cream, Johnny?
Oh, yes, thank you. What sort of fishing line shall I use? A proper one with a reel on it?
Well, of course, yes. And I got a lot of pheasant and partridge I want you to see as well.
Not to mention the noisiest battalion of road-making machines you ever heard in your life.
Oh, ah. Johnny, you'll probably get more fun out of watching them at work than out of anything else. Well, are you looking forward to staying with us for the weekend then, Johnny?
Oh, yes. But I'm coming back Monday, aren't I, Miss Weldon?
Yes, of course. This is just a holiday weekend visit. So behave yourself and enjoy yourself, Johnny. Think of all the things you have to tell Mum and Auntie and your friends in the cottage when you get back.
Yes, especially the fishing. Especially if we catch a big one.
Oh, yes.
If you take him out to the car, Mr. Forrest, I'll come along with Mrs. Forrest and bring his suitcase and his Mac.
Very well, my dear. Come along then, Johnny. Now, I'm afraid my car isn't a very new one, but it's just the job for carrying fishing tackle and bait and stuff.
And the fish we shall catch.
Oh, yes, and the fish, naturally. Oh, that goes without saying. Come on then, Johnny, this way.
Mrs. Forrest, so far as Johnny's concerned, your husband will have a big start on you. Apart from the fishing and so on, which he's naturally excited about, he has a certain mistrust of all women. His mother let him down so badly, he can't bring himself to give his affection again yet.
I know, but we'll see how we get on. Tom's in his Seventh Heaven, you can see that.
That's what we both expected. It'll be up to you in the long run. We always say that these little weekend trips are just holiday jaunts, but in our heart of hearts, we always hope they're going to turn into something more permanent.
But that depends on Tom and me.
And little Johnny. You notice how we made sure before he set off that he was meant to come back on Sunday or Monday?
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Once he takes to you, and you take to him, you'll find he'll want to stay longer and longer. Let's hope you're going to feel the same way.
Well, I expect the two gentlemen in the car are dying to get away. Thank you so much, Miss Weldon, for all your help. Do call in and have some tea with us this weekend, if you can.
How nice of you to ask me. Thank you. And give Johnny a good time.
Johnny's visit was a success, and the Forrests became his foster parents. For Prue, there was not to be a daughter. The Forrests' second foster child was also a boy. Both lived happily with Tom and Prue, before leaving home to start families of their own.